Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today. Let me begin by paying tribute to our veterans who are listening to Air Talk each and every day. Thank you very much for what you've done and the sacrifices that you've made. If you have family members who are veterans, we also encourage you to express your appreciation for what they've given in the way of service to our country. On this Veterans Day, we have much to talk about, including a little bit later on, the LA County Board of Supervisors voting to pursue ways that they could remove LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva from office. Now, the sheriff, of course, directly elected by county residents. We'll talk about whether there would be a legal way for supervisors to do that. Also, coming up a little bit later on the program, we're going to be focusing on the delivery of vaccines. Pfizer, of course, with its positive result, 90% effectiveness of its vaccine in trials, but then the challenge of getting it distributed, if it's approved, is a vast one. We'll talk about what that involves. But first, we begin with the very latest on the presidential transition. Joining us from Bloomberg, politics editor Anna Edgerton. Anna, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Let's start with where things stand on the transition. It sounds like President-elect Biden and his team isn't particularly being daunted by the current administration not welcoming the president-elect with open arms.
That's right. They're definitely trying to project a sense of kind of calm, duty, you know, preparedness. They put out the list of names that will be kind of leading the agency review team. So, you know, taking a look at all the subject area experts and kind of the brain trust that they have going into an eventual administration. They're also, you know, talking about things like, you know, Monday the focus was on the coronavirus pandemic. Yesterday they were focused on the Affordable Care Act, and today President-elect Biden stopped by the Korean War Memorial in Philadelphia to place a wreath in honor of Veterans Day. So doing presidential things, trying to, you know, act as normally as possible, even though, of course, it is very abnormal that President Trump has not yet conceded in this election.
The administrator of the General Services Administration, which would oversee the transition of power, Emily Murphy, isn't issuing a letter of ascertainment, which allows for the start of the transition of power. Is there a deadline for her to do that, like certification of votes, or what would be the trigger for that?
Well, usually it's done, you know, within hours of the election being called. I believe in 2016 that call was made very shortly after the networks declared the election for President Trump. But as far as I know, the absolute deadline would be December 14th, when the Electoral College meets to, in fact, elect President Biden, reflecting the will of the states. So any remaining holdout after that date, be it from, you know, politicians as kind of messaging exercise or from the administration, is going to should be done by then, by December 14th.
Biden was sort of downplaying him not having access to classified information. He said something like, well, I'm not able to take any action anyway. But the longer this goes on, what is the potential downside for the president-elect in having access to information? Does that perhaps delay his ability to take action once he takes office?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every day that goes by that President-elect Biden is not kind of incorporated into the work of government and kind of, you know, easing into the role as commander-in-chief is a day that is a national security risk. You know, he's also having calls with other heads of state on that have been arranged on his own because he doesn't have access to the security, to the State Department's system for speaking with other heads of state. So, you know, it's certainly not ideal for a president coming in and facing really big foreign policy challenges. You know, however, Joe Biden is very experienced. He was vice president under President Obama, had lots of foreign policy issues in his portfolio. So, you know, at least he has the experience coming in. So there's not going to be as much of a learning curve, but just logistically, it is a setback to not have access to the resources and agencies that he should have at this point.
Anna Edgerton, Bloomberg News politics editor with us. Georgia's Secretary of State announced that the state is going to undertake not just a recount, but a hand recount. Does that mean all of the votes cast, the millions of votes in Georgia, Anna?
Yeah, so they are going to try to do a full hand recount of all roughly 5 million votes that were cast in Georgia. And they have to do this by November 20th. So they have 9 days to pull this off. Although I did see some reporting that it could be actually easier to do a full recount rather than doing a selection, because that would require separating the votes that have been recounted and the ones that have just been recounted as a sample size. So the fact that they're just doing it all in one fell swoop, you know, will be in some small batches depending on the county breakdown of how those ballots were cast. But it's a huge undertaking, but hopefully one that will put some that will put greater confidence in the results, you know, knowing that there was a very kind of detailed review of how those votes were cast, making sure that signatures match up and that kind of thing. Biden leads by 14,000 votes at this point in Georgia, so that would be a pretty significant margin to change in a recount. We don't expect any different results from that.
It is still so close, though. The Associated Press has not called that race yet, so gives you an idea at this point how tight it is. Speaking of Georgia, with AP's calling of the Alaska U.S. senatorial race for Republican Dan Sullivan, Republicans now have 50 senators, 48 for Democrats. So that means these two runoff U.S. senatorial races coming up in January in Georgia are going to be huge, Anna.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton of outside attention. There already is, you know, money, strategists, everything flooding to the Peach State. This is the last chance for Democrats to have a shot at the majority. If it ends up being a 50-50 Senate with 50 seats for each party, then Kamala Harris as the vice president would have the tie-breaking vote. So that would just barely put the Senate in Democrats' hands. But, you know, there's all kinds of logistical questions that go on just in the functioning of the Senate when it comes to such a tight margin, because a lot of resources and staff and offices are divided up according to the majority. So there's going to be a big delay in just getting the functioning of the Senate up and running while we're waiting on the outcome of these two races in Georgia.
All right. Thanks very much, Anna. As always, we appreciate your being with us with the latest on the election.
Of course. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Anna Edgerton joining us from Bloomberg on 89.3 KPCC.